What's up, everybody? I'm Jeff.
I'm Emily.
I'm Johnny.
We are For All Seasons, and you're listening to the More Than Music Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on this episode of the More Than Music Podcast. We're excited today to have a special guest that is very close to us. Before we get into it, I do want to say that we have a special announcement that we're going to talk about towards the end of the episode. So make sure you listen to the whole thing.
If you don't, oh well.
I guess you could just skip ahead, but we'll probably sprinkle nuggets of the announcement throughout the whole podcast.
I don't think that's the plan, but maybe.
It could happen.
You'll just have to listen.
If I know Johnny. So for this episode today, we are talking about the song Life in Your Love, which was written out of a season of nearness, closeness to God. I think this topic in general can either be super mystical or touchy-feely or it can just be logic and knowledge and experience-based. So for this season, what we're talking about just briefly is, you know, times in your life where you feel close to God, where you can experience his presence, where you can, you know, have times in his word or in prayer where you just don't want to leave, where you can really sense that God is speaking to you, God is working in your life, and you just don't want it to end. So that's the season that Life in Your Love was written out of. And we're excited to jump into it with a special guest that we have, and Emily is going to introduce.
Yes. So when we started talking about this season and specifically this podcast episode, you know, just trying to figure out the right person to have in this discussion, because you definitely, this is one of those topics that you could really easily just elevate someone to be like, oh, we're going to pick this person because they're always near to God. But the reality is the whole point of this album, this whole concept, is that things aren't one way all the time, that we're constantly changing, and sometimes we feel near and sometimes we feel far. So in no way did we want to go into this and say, well, let's find a perfect Christian, because there isn't one. Because
those
life
exist.
They exist.
In heaven.
Jeff, we're not talking about heaven right now.
Okay, anyway. But instead we said, who is someone where we've seen them display a life, not just a life of integrity, but more specifically like wanting to be close to Jesus and living authentically in the moments of feeling near and far. Someone who has challenged us to truly understand and believe that Jesus is near to us, who's walked alongside us, who's just given us a lot of wisdom when it comes to believing and remembering that the Holy Spirit is near to us, and someone we've been able to watch even just for himself walk that out. But our guest today is Brian Holland. And Brian, we've known for, oh gosh,
too long.
You have no
maybe
idea.
Like 8 years?
I was going to say 8 years. We first met at Hume Lake. He was a speaker, and it was a couple years into knowing him, you know, doing camps together, that I think we had talked internally and said, hey, what would it look like to have a band pastor? Because we're always on the move, and we're not really plugged in. We are plugged into a home church, but not as consistently as other people. It's like we can go weeks, if not months, of not being at
especially
home.
Especially in those seasons where we were at camp.
Yeah. Right. So what would it look like to have someone who was not just checking in on us, but also teaching us and encouraging us and challenging us? And I think it was around that time that we kind of all said, I wonder if Brian could be a good option, that I think Brian called Johnny.
Literally the next day.
It was a trip.
Like we talked about it. And the next day,
right? Brian was like, "What do you think about this?" And we were like, "Well, I guess God has spoken. The end. And so for the last few years, Brian has, I was going to say has been an incredible resource, but I think that cheapens it. It's like he's been such a dear friend and mentor and spiritual leader.
Encourager.
And just all the things. And when it comes to living a life with Jesus, recognizing God's nearness to us, I think what we all think and believe that Brian has just led a beautiful life of living life with God and encouraging other people to live life with God, recognizing that God is near to us.
And just trying to be like Jesus.
Yeah. So, Brian, now that we've just spent all this time talking about how great you are.
And elevating you.
Yeah, I've stayed quiet. So you can just keep going. I know, right?
You don't have to stop. It's fine. Just keep going.
And to close out this episode.
I know, that's the end.
Thanks for tuning in.
Right, exactly. So, Brian, to get us started, first, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself? And then the first question is, can you recall the first time where you felt the nearness of God? And I know, like, our feelings change all the time, but specifically talking about with this song and this season where you felt God's nearness, what was happening during that time, and what do you think contributed to that?
Yeah. Well, I'm Brian, and I've been in vocational ministry for 26 years, most of it with youth, and then I'm a lead pastor of another campus that we launched a couple years ago at Purpose Church, and married to Kelly for 21 years. I got a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old. And it's weird. I'm one of those guys that when I was a kid, brought up in Christian school my whole life, but really even in high school, the Bible was a textbook. Jesus was a subject. So I could get the right GPA, to get into the right college. And then, cause you don't get the right college, you don't get the right job. And without the right job, you don't get the right girl. And then you're a hermit the rest of your life. So there's a lot of pressure to make sure you got the grade. But I started going to youth group when I was a sophomore, and I really loved the youth pastor and I loved the church. It was a small little church. And I kept going, and then it's around, I was at Hume, when I was 17, when I just knew I just wanted Jesus to have everything. And so I remember there was this one time I was a junior high intern for that question you asked about one of the first times, I was the guy that, it's weird, I'm a recovering legalist. I used to have God all figured out, and then he introduced me with grace and ambushed me with that concept that I'm just not that impressive. When I had God all figured out, he was a lot easier to manage, and then he broke that box. But I remember I was just starting out in ministry. I might have been a high school pastor at the time. Kelly and I were dating, and I remember I'd done a True Love Awaits series or like a sex talk and just called kids to commit, to wait physically, wait. If God has marriage in mind for them, then great. If not, man, you're a whole person. But if you would, save yourself. And then I remember a couple youth came up and said, hey, we're wondering if you could pray for us that we would start doing that. And they were a dating couple. And I went, wait, start doing that? Oh yeah. Well, we've been having sex, but if you could help us start and do that. And I thought, I don't know how I can help you do that because that's kind of weird. And so I remember I had to say, I had to tell your parents, we got to have a talk to your parents. All of us need to go talk to them. And they hated me for like a couple of days. But I remember I was on a walk with Kelly a couple of days after that conversation with the youth. And I was just telling her, I was like, man, I don't know how to do this. I can't even keep, which it really shows how dumb I was, even more now. But then like,
you said
I can't
it.
Even keep. I said I can't even keep students from having sex, and I'm like, okay, I don't know any youth pastor that can actually fulfill that in their job description. But I just felt like I was so bad at ministry, and I remember we were just walking along, and I said something like, maybe I should just not do it. Hmm. And I remember she just stopped, and for those who have met my wife, she's just the sweetest thing. But she just hauled off and decked me right in the chest, just hit me. And then she says, you need to go spend time with Jesus. And I went, I do. And so I remember she got in the car, she left, and I went in the house. And I remember I was done reading whatever book I was in, and the book of Joshua just came on mind. And as I started reading chapter 1, I don't think I'd ever had the word of God open up like it did that moment, because I just felt like I didn't know what I was doing. I was nervous. I was afraid. But then you get to parts of it, and I just opened it where he says in chapter 1, verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law." Goes through it. Be strong and courageous. Keeps going. And then, of course, those that have been with Jesus for a while, you get to verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And I just remember sitting there, I was in my bedroom, and just kind of lost it. I was just sitting there going, okay, God, so you're with me. And why else would he tell Joshua, be strong and courageous three times, except for the fact that he felt really weak and was discouraged. He was really weak, discouraged, and afraid of what it is that he was going to have to do. He's going to have to take over after Moses.
Yeah.
And I just sat there going, oh, God, thank you so much. So this is what it's like to actually spend time with you and not just read about you. And I've never forgotten that. That was, oh gosh, that was 24 years ago, give or take. Yeah. And I've just remembered that. And I've learned some things along the way about his presence and why are there wilderness moments where he seems quiet, but just getting alone with him, it just has changed everything. I used to be about Christianity. Now I'm just really about Jesus. It's just all about Jesus, because there's no Christianity without him anyway. So that was the first time I can really remember.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm curious, you know, with that, after experiencing that, how did that shape your prayer life, your reading the word? Like, really just your life in general. Like, how did things start to change?
Yeah, I think it was, well, it's not just through that. There's a long process. Like I said, I'm a recovering legalist. And then I was introduced to books like Brendan Manning wrote one called Ragamuffin Gospel. Mike Iaconelli wrote one called Dangerous Wonder. And it started introducing me to this side of God that I don't think I'd ever really gone into, about this side where he likes me, like he takes pleasure in me. That concept of calling him Abba, which is actually the Aramaic word for papa or dada. So when your little one calls dad for the first time, it's that word. I thought God was just putting up with me. And so it was just kind of like, I'm so sorry, God. I'm so sorry. I'm such a flake. I'm so sorry. I'm always failing. And really to kind of pull back and realize that, hey, Zephaniah chapter 3, I think it's around verse 17, where it says that he sings a loud song over you. That when I'm singing to him, he's singing over me. There is this pleasure. That at the proper time, it was his good pleasure to save us. Throughout the Psalms, there's parts where it talks that we're his pleasure, we're his treasure. And so that introduced me to, man, I can talk to God anytime I want about anything and not make it as formal as I think we have. I always kind of make fun of what we've done. It's kind of like we just, in prayer, we just turn it into, think of all the Asian words that you can come up where it's like, God, thank you for justification and sanctification and purification. It's like all those words, and we're just trying to impress them with our vocabulary rather than just starting out to say, hey, Dad, this is what's going on, and then talking to them about anything and everything that you want to. And then when I open the Word, it's not me reading the Bible. It's me opening the Word of God that I might hear God. And so when people go, I didn't have that experience. Like when I'm reading something, I don't get that. Well, I'm going to be honest. Like if I'm reading Numbers, I'm not sitting there going, I'm getting a lot out of this. If it's the beginning part, it's First Chronicles, the first 9 chapters. It's just, it's a genealogy. It's the longest read. I skim through that, but I can guarantee that because I believe God's word more than my emotions, that every time I open up the Word of God, I'm hearing him. And then I ask God, what is it you want to teach me or show me or convict me or encourage, whatever you want. But I want to hear you. Like, I just want to hear you. So my prayer life, it's not, man, I need to spend time on my knees for an hour to be a really good Christian.
Yeah.
It's about me enjoying Jesus and being honest with him all day, every day. Just, it's as things come up. And I would never treat my relationship with my wife as, well, I talked to you for 10 minutes and I checked the box. And now you talk to me for 10 minutes and check the box. It's a relationship. I would never treat her like that. And yet with God, we think, well, I already had my quiet time in the morning, and it sounds, I can't imagine him sitting there going, yeah, I love when they say that. That is just such a blessing to me. when we've turned it into a chore. So I think it got me out of checking a box and out of a chore and into, man, my dad in heaven just cannot get enough of me. And it sounds arrogant, but it's true.
Yeah, that really does shape it, because if you think God doesn't like you, like if someone doesn't like me, I'm not really going to want to hang out with them.
Right.
You know? So I feel like that perspective change is huge.
Or just even the conversation looks different.
Yeah.
I think this, I mean, Brian knows this is something that I've always really struggled with, is like this idea. I totally believe in God's like general love for the world. But it's like, what does it look like to believe that he not only loves me, but likes me? Because if I don't really think God likes me, then the way I communicate with him is going to be this like list. You know, or like, I need to do this. I need to spend time with him to please him, because if I don't, then he's upset. He's left upset. And it just reiterates this idea that he doesn't really like me. And Brian, you mentioned something, you know, choosing to believe God's word and God's truth over emotion. And I think that's such a big piece here, is actually looking at God's word and saying, no, he does not just love us, but like us, and that he wants to be a part of our lives, that he doesn't just want to be confined to like a 10-minute little powwow in the morning or in the evening or whatever. So I'm curious, like, what, just for the people listening, like, what does that look like, that transfer from just quiet time in the morning or whatever, that more legalistic view, if you want to call it. And that's not to say that if, you know, people have rigid quiet time in the morning, that it's legalistic. That's also just called discipline. So it's not a bad thing.
Absolutely.
But like, what was that transfer like of not just confining God's presence to that, you know, 10 minutes to an hour, to then like, it's not like bringing God's presence, it's recognizing God's presence, like recognizing that his presence is actually with us the other 14 hours that we're awake. Was there like something in scripture that you read, or did you start to practice something that made you more aware of his nearness?
Yeah, I think for me, I don't know that it was something that, I guess practice, and I'm with you, I mean, my mornings are now with him, where even, I bet only the last 3 or 4 years where it's kind of like my time with Jesus is now non-negotiable in the morning. Where before it was kind of like, well, I'm a pastor and he knows how busy I am and how necessary I am. He can't do this without me. I was kind of a jerk. But it's kind of like, I can't do any, if he says, like, I'm called to abide in him.
Yeah.
And abiding does not sound like, hey, just get away with me and read about me, or just, or listen to me while the pages of the book are open. It's abide in me and I abide in you. And then he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so if I can't do anything apart from him, then why am I trying to do any of his work without him? And so I thought, man, me getting to spend time with the creator of the universe, it was kind of like I guess there was a perspective shift that changed it all, where I thought, man, okay, I think it was terrifying at first to call him Papa, which I don't do it every time, but to just kind of try to get in the habit, if that's what that word means, to do that. So it felt weird at first. I just felt like I was, I don't know, losing my mind. And so to try that, but then it kind of ushered me into, hey, you do want to hear about everything. Or instead of me just, I mean, I get we can vent with people, but there's very often that my venting will just turn into gossip.
Yeah.
But me venting to Jesus is never that. And
that's,
I can
a good
vent
word
about the things that I'm frustrated about. And I can, I mean, if I've got a gossip, I can gossip to Jesus about it and pray that the Holy Spirit's going to not just convict them, I might be the one in the wrong, like convict me, but to be open to that. But I, like when you get to Psalm 139 and he's like, you know, when I sit, when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar, you search out my path, my lying down, you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, before, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. And then he goes, you hem me in behind or before and lay your hand upon me. And then he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. And so you, he's sitting there going, you know everything about me. You're with me everywhere I go. And that is wonderful. I'll be honest, if people knew everything I thought, I don't think I'm thinking that's wonderful. But with David, he's like, you know, every aspect, every weakness, every failure, everything that excites me, everything that I'm nervous about, what's up coming up. And it's so wonderful. And so there's this freedom that if the scriptures talk about, like where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Like I can have freedom before God because I'm not playing a facade. He knows every weakness. He knows I'm going to be tempted before I'm tempted. He knows I'm going to fall before I think that I'm going to fall. And knowing that, oh, it just is mind-blowing. The fact that he chose me before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1, it's like you were chosen before the foundation of the world. So his favor is not based upon how good I've been or how bad I've been.
Yeah.
He picked me before time began. Like that was his choice. And to let that sink in going, oh my gosh, so I am his treasured possession. And then there was one quick verse, if I could find it, in Isaiah. I remember just going through a time where I just felt like I was like the worst pastor and the worst husband, and no one listened to me when I preached. So I guess I'm not one of those guys that just tweets all the positive. And so I'm just feeling like a total loser. And I remember for some reason I walked from our bedroom into my boys' room. I don't know why I walked in there. I mean, you usually would have grabbed my Bible, gone downstairs like 12:30 in the morning. But I went in there, I sat on the floor and I'm holding my Bible and my phone. And I was going through the Bible in a year program, and I was like six months behind. So God knew I'd be a failure and knew this would be the perfect time for me to actually read this. But I was losing it. I felt like it was a spiritual warfare thing moment. I felt horribly condemned. And I read these words, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned in the flame. Shall not consume you." And then you jump down to verse 4, and he says, "Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you." And I lost it. I remember I was doing the ugly cry, trying to not make any noise so my boys didn't wake up. This was on March 21st, 2012. I marked the date in my Bible because that was that moment when I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And I remember just sitting there after I ugly cry, and I sit up, and this thought came in my mind. It's like, why do you love these two boys? And I said, because they're mine. I mean, I'm whispering. I'm not screaming it like I am now, but because they're mine. And then the thought came, me too. And I just knew that God was saying, I just love you because you're mine. Not because of what you've achieved. Not if whether or not you are a good preacher, a good husband. I just love you. I love you. You're honored. You're precious in my eyes. And so that, I think the shift, all of a sudden you start to read the scriptures the way that God wants you to read them. When our perspective of God is right, that he is holy and majestic and glorious, but he is Abba, like he loves us and we're precious to him. So you elevate, you have the right perspective of God according to the revelation of the scriptures of who he is. Oh, then you start to realize, okay, I can approach this holy God whenever I want in confidence to help in my time of need. So I think it's just understanding, hey, this is what God has revealed to himself and actually believe in it.
Something in what you were saying about freedom just stuck out to me. I think in my story about experiencing that closeness with God, it has a lot to do with freedom. And it's that freedom, I'm sure it's different for everybody, but for me, it's the freedom of perception, like of other people's, you know, perspective on me. So I remember like in high school, you know, raising your hands in worship was not the cool thing to do.
It still isn't in high school.
Probably true. And probably a lot of places. But I just remember thinking like, well, kind of the perspective of, well, I don't need to raise my hands because I know who God is and I know that he loves me and I love him and I don't need to prove anything to him. So it's the same argument for like not being disciplined about your Bible reading. It's like, well, God only wants it if I really mean it. But really I realized in high school at that point that what was keeping me from raising my hands in worship when I felt stirred to do so, it was people looking at me. And thinking differently of me or even this responsibility of like, oh, he's so spiritual, like he can't talk about this or that anymore, you know? Like I have to be this holy person now. And the moment of freedom came in where it was just like, well, if God says, you know, draw near to me and I will draw near to you, then I have to show that I believe it. And that was the time where I rose my hands in worship for the first time. And I'm not saying raising your hands is this like magical thing, but it did like just release this like sense of freedom where I was like allowed to just like express to God,
yeah,
you know, that I, you know, surrender or I want to be with him. Like I believe that when he says something, it's true. And looking back in those moments where I really experienced a closeness with God, it has a lot to do with taking like a step of faith.
Yeah.
And like,
that's good.
The freedom to be like, well, it might not make sense on a surface level or on like, you know, the things we see, but I feel like God's calling me to do this. So I'm just going to do it and trust him. And then, you know, watching him come through on the latter side or the back end of that. So I feel like, you know, that God's love for, like understanding God's love for us and his like of us, it brings a sense of freedom because you feel like, you know, that you don't have to perform for him anymore. You just have to be yourself and you realize that he wants you. And that freedom can kind of trickle into all different areas of life.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, we are wrapping.
I was gonna say, go for it.
No, we are nearing the end. Needing to wrap it up is what I was trying to say. And Brian, I always love asking this question of if you could kind of drop a little nugget of wisdom, and you already have, but is there something you want people to walk away with, just knowing about? I think specifically in the being near to God, his character, is there something that you want people to know walking away that they can either apply to their lives or chew on for a little bit? Maybe something little that you were able to apply to your life that just made you experience Jesus in a different way?
Yeah. I feel like if I should pass on anything, it would be the wilderness moments are not automatically this idea that God's not near. We think that wilderness means I've sinned and God has left me.
Yeah.
But the wilderness moments, man, I feel like I learned more about the things of God in the times of the wilderness than a lot of the mountaintop experiences. Hmm. So a lot of times when it feels like God got quiet, I don't think it automatically means he's mad. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that there are times when there's sin in my life, he seems distant or his conviction is so strong. It's like, it's like this little pressure on the back of my neck from a thumb. And then it just gets stronger until all of a sudden I'll actually do it. But I guess I kind of equate it with just because he's quiet, it may mean we're good. Like I've got nothing to say. He's got nothing to say. It's like when I sit with my wife and we're watching the show, we're not really talking, but we're good. Like we're doing great. We're having fun. And so I feel like, but also the wilderness is such a huge moment for us to, it shows us what is our heart about. Deuteronomy chapter 8, the whole purpose behind the wilderness, the whole purpose of being led through the wilderness was to see what's in their hearts and see what they would do. And so it shows me, man, Jesus is everything for me. But it also, I think it blesses the heart of God when I'm just sitting there going, God, why do you feel so far? Why do you feel so far? It's an encouragement to the one who knows how I feel before I'm going to feel it, because my heart is about him. I just want to know Jesus. And so when you get to, and I'll close with a Philippians chapter, I think it's chapter 3, I want to know Christ. I want to experience him. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like in his death, and somehow to attain for the resurrection of the dead. When you look at that, he's like, I want to know every aspect of Jesus. And then the very next thing he's like, I haven't made it yet, but I press on. Why? Because he's worth it. He's worth it. When you start thinking about who he is worth it. And to know him and to be intimately known by him, that's really what we're made for. I'm not made for ministry. I'm not made for speaking. You guys aren't made for singing and leading worship. We were made for Jesus. And the things that he's called us to do is just bonus. But knowing him, that's it. To be known by him, oh, that's the heartbeat of it all.
Man, I love that.
All right, well, that's it. Goodbye.
Oh, my God.
So good.
No, that was awesome. Thank you, Brian. Thanks for sharing that. And just thanks for all your support of us.
And just an honor.
the ways that you've encouraged us to know God more deeply and to believe what the word says about who he is and what he thinks about us. And I know that you are a blessing to your community and
to your family.
To your family, and you're just great. But it's not about what you do. It's about who you are.
But I feel like, I hope that those of you that are listening can, I mean, literally in this moment, what he was wrapping up with, I just wanted to sit there and just chew on that. Because the idea of like to be known and to know God, like that is the ultimate purpose of us being created by our creator. And like, I just want to sit in that for a little bit and say like, man, like what an awesome thought and challenge to be like that. If that is the goal, where am I at in this? And like, there is such peace and such beauty in being known and knowing the creator as much as we can on this earth. And so Brian, I just thank you for, like Emily was saying, giving us words that we can sit with that are like, that is so encouraging to think about, just to be able to sit there and say, man, like if that really is it, like just knowing that he loves us and he chose us and he continues to choose us in our stupidity, like how awesome is that?
Yeah. To our listening audience, we hope that this discussion with Brian has sparked some encouraging thoughts as well as some challenging ones about maybe the way that we've chosen to see God. We hope that it encourages you to understand more deeply the love of God and his desire to do life with you. If you have not heard the song that inspired this conversation and was sparked out of Seasons of Feeling Near to God, you can head to really any streaming platform. The song is called Life in Your Love. There's also another podcast that we released a couple weeks ago that's behind the episode, and we talk a little bit more about the heart behind the song. But this whole entire project for the year, we've released 6 songs so far, and they're all available on streaming platforms. And then we've released a video for each one as well. But we invite you to check those out and to kind of be in the journey with us. We mentioned at the beginning of the episode an announcement, and we'll go ahead and make that right now. We didn't have any spoilers during the episode, so sorry, everyone.
It was just too good.
Or maybe we did. But we posted we went live on Instagram and Facebook, and you can go look for those videos if you want more information. But essentially, we spent the last 6 months releasing the first half of this project. The plan was to spend the entire year of 2019 releasing 12 songs, one a month, each song revolving around a season of life. So we've hit the halfway mark. And instead of continuing this year, we've decided to postpone the project into 2020. Simply put, it's for 2 major reasons. Overarchingly, this was like a guinea pig project, figuring out how do we best not only release the music, but the videos and the podcast. How do we bring our listeners into something deeper than just being passive in our listening? There's been a lot of wins, but also a lot of difficult moments of feeling like the music just isn't reaching people the way that we had hoped. And a lot of that is because of the consumer market that we exist within, where there's just so much information coming out all the time. It's hard to have things kind of rise above the noise. And so we want to take some time off to brainstorm how we can best do that. And then also, timing has been interesting of figuring out what is the actual amount of time that we should allow to breathe between songs so that people can really sit with the content and not feel like we're just flying through it. And sometimes it's kind of felt that way. So we're going to take the rest of this year and a little bit of 2020 to continue writing, to continue preparing the content, and getting ready to release the second half of the Ampersand Project. So stay tuned. If you'd like to still continue supporting us, you can visit our Patreon page. It's just patreon.com/FA Seasons. We'll be giving more updates on there throughout the rest of this year about writing and what's happening and what's coming next. For those that are still supporting us, we appreciate you so much, and your support means the world to us. But mm-hmm. all of our music is available on, again, all digital platforms. We've got a YouTube channel, and then feel free to follow us on social media, where we've been having discussions about what it looks like to worship God in every season of life. But with that, we appreciate you. We love you. We'll probably be releasing some bonus episodes and bonus content through the rest of the year mm-hmm. here on the podcast, because we won't be following the regular Ampersand
schedule.
So be looking for some more episodes coming soon. But other than that, love you guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.